SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Sir, the radar, sir, it appears to be jammed. Jammed. Raspberry. There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now, from CBS Sports, from Mason Brew, he covers the Vikes, he covers Michigan, he's Anthony Broom. What's up, Anthony?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, buddy, let's first start with your Final Four-bound Wolverines. Was there a ray shield protecting the rims at Staples Center yesterday?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, that was a good old-fashioned defensive slobber knocker, which is not something that people are really used to seeing with Michigan basketball. It's been a team, you know, over the last, you know, I guess since John Beilein got there, they've kind of been known by their live by the three, die by the three type of mantra. But, you know, they've flipped the switch this year where, you know, they haven't really shot as well as other Beilein teams, but they are elite defense. It's not just a good defensive team by John Beilein standards. It is a great defensive team that ranks near the top of the country in efficiency. So, yeah, when the shots aren't falling, they can win games with that. And that's yet last night against Florida State was certainly an example of that, another example of it.
4 of 22 from behind the arc for your team that lives by the three. They probably should have died by the three, but, you know, Florida State couldn't throw it in the basket, you know, couldn't throw the ball in the water either. Were you surprised Florida State did not foul towards the end of the game?
I was surprised. And I know Leonard Hamilton said, oh, the game was over and things like that, but, you know, we're talking about, now, mind you, Michigan's been better, you know, down the stretch here, but we're talking about a team who ranked, I believe, 321st in the nation in free throw efficiency or percentage or whatever it was. So, I mean, you have to – listen, I don't like games being extended and finishing at the foul line as a fan, but if you're a coach, like, how do you not extend that game the way that Michigan statistically does perform at the line? So, kind of felt like Florida State and Leonard Hamilton turtled a little bit. I mean, I think there were – When Michigan got that last rebound, I think there was like 15 seconds left. Like, that's an eternity in basketball time. So I don't know what the rationale was behind that. So, hey, but they'll take it.
All right, so now the Wolverines go on to the Final Four, and they will take on Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago. Now, what? How do you feel about that matchup? Where do you think they match up well? Where do you think they might have trouble?
Yeah, you know, I think that the thing that strikes me the most about Loyola Chicago is that, you know, yeah, they're an 11 seed, and yeah, it's a Cinderella story, but this is a really, really good basketball team. You know, they won, I think they're 32-5 right now or something like that, but, you know, it's a team that's been, they've been good all year throughout all this, and, you know, they're obviously able to shoot from outside, and I think that Michigan, you know, if Michigan kind of brings what they have brought defensively, they should be in good shape, but, you know, there's just something about them. There's an aura about them. I don't know if it's Sister Jean or just the guys on the team or what the deal is. But, you know, Loyola is a good basketball team. Obviously you get to this point, you can make the argument it's the best team that Michigan's seen so far in this tournament. So it's not a, you know, for as much as that's made about, you know, I see all these people saying, oh, well, you know, Michigan's had one of the easiest roads to the Final Four. Let me tell you this, like, it didn't feel easy last night. It didn't feel easy when they needed a miracle to beat Houston. And in that first game of Montana, I mean, yeah, they won, and it was a comfortable margin, but that wasn't all that easy either. So, you know, there are a lot of teams that that played, I don't want to say as poorly as Michigan has in some of these games, but there's a lot of teams that didn't get wins when they played their worst basketball. So I think that you know, the road is what it is for Michigan. They just got to keep taking care of business.
Who do you like in today's games, Anthony? Villanova, Texas Tech, Kansas, and Duke?
Yeah, I like Villanova and Duke. I just think that, you know, Villanova is as good as they've been all year, obviously, coming off the couple of years that they've had under Jay Wright. I think that this Duke team, this isn't, when I look at Kansas, it's not, it just doesn't feel like the Kansas teams that we've seen in the past. And Duke, I mean, with Grayson Allen and some of the guys they have, Yeah, I just feel like those two teams are probably the ones that you're looking at playing in that second game next weekend.
Anthony Broome covers Michigan for Maize and Broome, but he also covers the Vikings for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. And Anthony, now that the Vikings have brought in Kirk Cousins, is the expectation Super Bowl or bust?
I think it has to be. I know that Kirk Cousins, you know, a lot of people don't see him as one of those elite type guys. And yeah, the price tag is high, but you know that's market value. That's what you're going to pay if you want a quarterback that's, you know, good to you know, very good. So I don't have a problem with the price. I mean, if anything, it kind of just gives them peace of mind. You know, you don't. I mean, the Vikings haven't had a guy been there. Starter for like multiple years in a row without concerns since, I mean, I know Teddy was there for a few years but since really Dante Culpepper. So, you know, that's the price you have to pay to get some continuity at that position. I look at how that defense performs. You know, they had a big piece in Sheldon Richardson on that side of the ball. To me, yeah, it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, they a lot of the elements of what they went through last year felt like one of those dream seasons, but that roster is good enough to be a factor for a while. You know, they have some of those key pieces coming up for after this upcoming season, like the Stephon Diggs of the world, the Anthony Barrs. Those guys all need contract extensions. So I don't want to say 2018 is Super Bowl or bust, but, you know, if they don't at least get there, it's going to feel like a missed opportunity, especially if they miss or if they – end up not being able to bring some of these guys back because Kirk Cousins is getting paid so much.
And lots made about, you know, Cousins. Well, he's got Thielen, he's got Diggs, they've got weapons on the outside. They're going to have Dalvin Cook back next year too. So, you know, I would think that the expectation for that offense is probably pretty high.
I would think so. I mean, yeah, to me, this is the best assortment of skill players that Cousins has ever played with. And something, I don't want to say it's getting downplayed, but, you know, it's not often that you can lose a coordinator like Pat Shurmur to a head coaching job and do what I think was an upgrade in hiring John DeFilippo. So it kind of just worked out like that. You know, DeFilippo was a guy from the Eagles who obviously developed Carson Wentz. He was able to get Nick Foles to being a Super Bowl MVP, which nobody saw coming. And, you know, I just think that I do think that Kirk Cousins' best football is still ahead of him. You know, a lot of the struggles that I think, you know, he had in Washington are just kind of, I'm not going to say it's not all on him, but that's kind of a helter-skelter, herky-jerky operation to have over there, and his play sort of reflected that at times. So I do think his best football is still ahead of him with the guys they have around him, and, you know, we'll see what they're able to do there. But it's, you know, it's going to be an interesting exercise in, you know, a lot of people make it, you know, if this quarterback had a running, like people in Detroit always say, you know, if Matthew Stafford had a running game, what would he look like? Or if so-and-so had a good defense, what would they look like? Well, to me, this feels like the ultimate, like, ideal situation experiment. So we'll see. We're going to see what Kirk Cousins is when all the pieces are kind of in place for him to do something big.
All right, Anthony, I'm sure you've seen the story on the NFL investigating the way Eagles fans acted during the championship game and the poor treatment that Vikings fans were subjected to, from the full beer cans being thrown at them to people being told they were going to be raped and all kinds of craziness. Your thoughts on the NFL actually investigating into this? It's apparently been going on for a few weeks. Do you think anything actually comes out of it?
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like stories like that are kind of, you know, in a lot of cases, obviously alcohol fueled for one, but it can also be kind of a he said, she said type of thing, unless you have witnesses that were there and things like that. And don't get me wrong, like, we all know the history of how Philadelphia sports fans have kind of treated opposing fans over the year, how they've treated Santa Claus over the years, things like that. But, you know, some of these stories too, and I'm not going to say they're not true, but you know, a lot of it does kind of feel sensationalized because, you know, you do have, you know, the Philly fans fighting other fans or throwing beers at people. That's going to drive clicks. And I'm not saying that that's what it is. But, you know, I think that I'm not really sure how you can police how fans behave if, you know, they didn't necessarily break the law. I mean, you could be a bad person and not break the law. So, Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what comes of it. I doubt anything really will, but you know, we'll see what happens with all that.
All right, Anthony Broom, he covers the Vikings, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports. Editor for Mason Brew covering the Wolverines, and you can follow him on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Appreciate your time today, buddy. Thank you. Very interesting stuff. We'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, thanks again.
All right, Anthony Broom with us on the hotline there. And I'll tell you what, if the NFL doesn't at least come up with an idea to have more security, you know, not just in stadiums, but around the parking lot areas where people are tailgating like crazy and mm-hmm. getting blasted out of their face before the games. There's got to be – when you have that many people and that much alcohol in one area, you better have some police and security.
A friend of mine was actually telling me that they do this in Seattle, and it's actually a really good idea. They have undercover police – that are dressed in the opposing team's colors, in opposing team's jerseys and T-shirts.
Ooh,
and jackets.
Is that entrapment?
That absolutely. I'm like, oh, that is brilliant. That's what you need to do. I think that's – you've got to get a little creative. You can't go in and be neutral. If you're a – you know, if you're somebody, if you're a police officer, security, if you really, I think, want to gain some sort of control on the situation – You have to go in and completely blend in, and that's I think it's a pretty good idea. I'd like to see it more. Now, from a Vikings fan perspective, the way that Viking fans were treated, it absolutely irritated me. It made me mad. It made me sad for the people in Philadelphia to stoop to that level to do things like that. And I've heard, well, you do that. It's not everywhere, people.
No, people do not throw full beer cans
at
other people.
No, they do not. So don't try and justify that by saying, well, I got popcorn dumped. There's a difference between having popcorn dumped on you at a stadium and somebody chucking a 12-ounce frozen cold frigid can of beer at you from about 5 or 10 feet away. Okay? That's a little bit different. Now,
being chased by a group of guys saying
they're
going to
rape you. Yes, exactly. Now, being a Viking, listen, we came to grips with the fact that our team got rolled like 2 hours after the game. I was done. I was fine. It's like, you know what? That sucked, but you move on. What irritates me is these fans, and I think you have to look into it. But at the end of the day, Philly fans take this as a badge of honor. They're like, oh, man, we're known as being the rowdiest, you know, meanest, most aggressive fans. Well, la-di-da. You wear that as a badge of honor. That's not something I'd be proud of if I were you.
I told you, I almost got killed at the Vet one year.
Did you really?
Yeah, wearing a Mets jersey. I had a group of about five fans tried to throw me over a rail from the upper deck. And there's a cop right there, and I'm looking at him. And he looked, smiled, and turned the other way.
Wow.
You know how I got out of that?
How?
I dropped myself all the way down to the ground so that I was lower than the rail,
yeah.
And I hit two of them right in the sack.
That a boy?
That was the only way I was getting out of that. There's five dudes who were trying to push me over a rail. And the cop was just like, whatever, Met fan, die.
See, that's the same thing that happened in Philly for the Vikings. That's the same thing that happened. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to look the other way. Dude, you people are trash. If you do that, you're trash. If you enable it, you're trash. I know that's not everybody. I know I'm not saying all Philly fans are trash. I'm not, because every fan base has their bad people.
But does it seem like there's more of them in Philly?
And I've got friends of mine that are Philly fans, and I've gotten into it with them. I'm like, just don't be a jerk. Just don't be a jerk. It's what I tell my 7-year-old. Be grateful. Don't be a jerk. That's it. I love the idea of undercover police. I love it.
It's funny,
undercover
like,
cops.
Your thing is don't be a jerk. Was this former NFL head coach being a jerk to his former quarterback? Next.